talking today about crossing rivers. Crossing rivers. May we go before God in prayer and just ask His blessing, ask His power to fall today. We can do nothing without Him.
Amen.
Nothing at all. It's all in Jesus Christ. And when we learn within our hearts and in our, and we get that in down in our heart that we can do nothing, we'll never succeed without Jesus Christ leading the way.
Amen.
It all looks, we have to look to the cross. And as we look to Him going in prayer, we just, would you care to bow your heads with me as we go before God in prayer? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we come before You, we thank You for this day. God, I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for the grace, dear Father, that we sang about just a while ago. I thank You for Your mercy that is new every morning. I thank You for Your kindness that You show toward us every day. And I thank You for the forgiveness of our sins. And the only righteousness that we have is the righteousness that You put within us, dear Father. And God, as we go forward and as we learn day by day, I pray that Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, would just show us, lead us, and guide us, and strengthen us, dear Father. Help us to be faithful. Help us walk the walk. And dear Father, I do appreciate my Brother Dallas allowing me to have this opportunity to come before You and preach the gospel. And God, as we go before in this time, I ask that You would guide my words. Mm-hmm. Let Your Spirit rise up in me. God, that sometimes I get a little off the trail a little bit, may go down a rabbit hole from here and there. And God, I just ask that Your presence touch these ones who are here today. God, I pray that I would say something that would encourage, something that would lift them up, something that would help them just grow a little bit stronger from day to day. We give You all the praise and all the glory, and we thank You in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to talk today about crossing rivers. And I would, if you want to turn over into the I believe it's in Timothy we'll be turning to, and also in the first and third chapters of Joshua. But you know, the Bible's a wonderful thing. This old book we call the Bible, it should be the most precious thing that we have. And it should be the most precious thing that we take up every day and read and learn and study and listen to. You know how God talks to us today? By His Word.
Amen.
By His Word and that little still small voice. And this is the answer, Dallas said.
Amen.
It's the answer to all the world's problems. God has left the record.
Amen.
And throughout the years, this record has been preserved. Through many, many have given their lives for this Bible, for the words that you hear today. They were burned at the stake, nailed to crosses, boiled in hot oil, cut asunder, the Bible says, over in Hebrews. But you know something? They stood. Now, what would make someone stand for God and go through all of that? Let me tell you, there's something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some may be in my hearing me today, you know Jesus Christ. And then there may be some who don't know Jesus Christ. And maybe there's some who just fallen away. And they've went their way. And that whatever the excuse might be, let me tell you, I've been down that road before. So I can't kick at you too much. I've been down that road before. At the place where I just wanted to give up. But you know, as I began to look again unto Jesus Christ, as I began to look again into His Word, God, raise me up, because he never lets us go. If you belong to him, he'll never let you go. Amen. He'll grab a hold of you and pull you back from all the things of this world. You know, it's us that get on the wrong road. We get to travel. And you know what? Christianity is more than just hearing the gospel and accepting Jesus Christ. It's more than that. It takes some dedication. It takes commitment. Commitment. And as we go into God's word today, let's go over, first of all, I believe over 2 Timothy. And this word today, in 2 Timothy, it says, you know the reason for this word? The Bible says that all scripture, in 2 Timothy, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction, and in righteousness. That's a big one right there, righteousness. Some say, I don't know how righteous I am. You get in the Word and God, you get into Jesus. And let him be your righteousness. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you along the way. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's a big word there too, isn't it? Perfect. Perfect. I, for one, know that I'm not perfect. But I know that I can be perfect in Jesus Christ. Amen. If I let him rule Amen. Within me. If I let him hold the reins instead of me getting a hold of the reins, we like to do that, don't we? Amen. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Now, why? You ever thought about this before? Mm-hmm. Now, God saves us. You know, we think that should be all. That should be all there is to it, man. We got a place now. We go to heaven. Bible said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, they should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, that's as far as some people go. That's where they stop. They'll get themselves in a comfy church. They'll get themselves to hear a comfy preacher. A comfy, not a country. A comfy preacher that kind of tickles their ears, and they sit there with their cups of coffees and their chairs in church, and they see all the smoke and the screams and everything else, and they're pretty well satisfied. But I want you to know, God didn't call you to sit in a pew. I want you to know we owe him more than that. Jesus Christ died upon that cross for Amen. You and for me.
Amen.
He just didn't die for us to be comfy, even though he will allow us to be comfy in his power, in his presence. You know, some people go to shows. Some people go to movie theaters. A lot of them went over to the Derby to watch the horses run. I like to watch horses run. I always watch the Derby at the end of it, and I like to see it. But let me tell you, I would much rather be in the house of God.
Amen.
I would much rather hear a sermon. I would much rather be taught from this old Bible. I would much rather be hearing the Word of God than anything else. Amen. Because you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You no longer want the things Amen. Of this world. Oh, there old preacher bashing the... Don't want me to have any blood. Let me tell you, you can have happiness. You can have joy in your heart. And that's what everybody's seeking for. They're seeking for joy, but they mistake happiness for joy. Mm-hmm. Happiness is, to be happy, something has to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, the joy of Jesus Christ, when he comes into your heart, you can rejoice even through the bad times and Amen. Through the hard times.
Amen.
I may ramble on. Sometimes I'm so long-winded that I can't shut up. But I enjoy preaching the word of God. I know that he's called me. I know that he's blessed me. I know that he's anointed me.
Amen.
And I pray that the words that I speak today is, you can tell and you know whether I'm anointed of God or not. Over in the book of Joshua, we're going to talk about crossing rivers today. First chapter of Joshua. Let's kind of set the background here. Joshua is going to have a big task before him. Him and Caleb, the two that got to enter the promised land. And they didn't do it the first time. You know, Moses sent out 12 spies, I believe, search out the land. And they came back and said, man, we can't take that land. They were at the place. All they had to do was cross that river. All they had to do was cross that river and go over. And God said, I'll be with you. I'll take care of all your enemies. I'll take care of all the strongholds are there. I'll even take care of the giants that you said were over there in the city of Jericho. Because they looked at those men and they saw themselves as what? Grasshoppers in God's sight. But here in the first verse it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, he's dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and this people, unto this land which I gave to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet, that your foot shall trot upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, from Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be yours, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I know I got these scriptures written down, but there's a few other scriptures on down the line here. It says over in the ninth verse, and he's going to start encouraging Joshua. He's going to start encouraging. Well, you know something? We all need encouragement sometimes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We all need to be lifted up. Instead of worrying about ourselves so much all the time, maybe if we start encouraging others, God will start just lifting us up. I remember one time I was going through a divorce and I felt so bad. You know how that is. If you've been through a divorce, that's like going through. Sometimes you think it's worse than death. Somebody dying. Because it tears your heart out. And I began to talk to someone and they started revealing to me some of their cares, some of their problems. And I began to talk to them about Jesus. I began to talk to them about how God can take care of those things. And you know what? God began to lift me up because I had a desire in my heart to encourage them. I ain't nobody. But I know Jesus is.
Amen.
I know he's the rock of my salvation. I know he's my mighty shield. I know he's my mighty buckler. I know he's a high tower that I can run to. I know that he's the lily of the valley that I go through. I know that he is everything, if I allow him to be in my life. I guess I'm talking about me too much. Let me get back in the gospel, okay? Get back in the word. And he's over in the ninth verse. Now, God is talking to Joshua. And he says, had not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. What an encouragement right there. I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Mm-hmm. And the moment you receive salvation, you're not alone. Now, one thing's going to happen. The world is going to come against you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people come against you because there's going to be persecution. I believe it's over in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, where it tells how those who live want to desire to live a righteous life will suffer persecution. And my, it will happen. You'll have neighbors. You'll have your own family. You'll have this old world come against you and knock you down, belittle you. Look at the world today. That's all we hear. You can stand up and be a Muslim. Nobody cares. You can stand up and be a Buddhist. Nobody cares. You can serve all these other religions. Nobody cares. But let me tell you, when you open your mouth and start talking about Jesus, that's another thing. We got some rivers that we have to cross. Now, Joshua, over in the 3:1, I'm just long-winded. Forgive me, people. I'm sorry. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Anyhow, we get down here to the 7th verse. They're going to be crossing the Jordan River. Now, this old Joshua changed some things in his life. He seen water come from the rock. He saw, during that time, he saw the plagues that were put upon Egypt. This old boy sees some signs. And through those things, his faith began to grow. And when we have a river to cross, and surely he did have a river to cross, the Bible says, let's read verse 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That old river Jordan was pretty big. And at this time, it just so happened at this time, God, it was at flood stage. How many of you ever been in a flood? How many have ever seen a river flowing over its banks? You see the big trees go floating down the river. You see sometimes on the TV the houses floating down the river, the shacks floating down the river, and the terribleness of it, especially in Texas last year when all the little kids lost their lives. The river rose up, and they had no way of escape. They were at the banks of the Jordan River. And you know, some of them probably complaining. Man, I wish I stayed back. We just left us in the wilderness. I mean, God's putting shoes on our feet that never wore out. He's feeding us every day with manna. Taking care of us, man. Out there in that wilderness. But you know, Joshua had a way. He said, if you look to the Lord, and if you do what I tell you to do, and you just follow my instructions, you're going to make it across this Jordan. And this is basically what Jesus has said. You could see Jesus and Joshua. He was the leader. And they got to that Jordan River. And he gave him certain instructions. He said, I'm going to put the Levite priest, and they're going to be carrying this ark. They all knew what the ark was. Mm-hmm. And he put it, 2,000 cubits or so many, I don't know, about half a mile between them and the children of Israel. And he said, when you get there to the edge of the river, you keep your eye on them priests. You keep your eye on that ark. And when they got to the edge of the river, I could see them priests kind of using thickening them toes out of her sandals and going. And you know something? The first toe to hit that water, that river just. The word says that the river went up, the waters went up on a heap from all the way to the Dead Sea. All the water going that way didn't matter, but all that water was like a big high wall. And you know what happened? Them priests were right in the center of it, carrying the ark of God. And as they went through, on dry ground, the ones behind them, one by one, two by two, three by threes, four by fours, all the family went and got to the other side. And they crossed the river because they kept their eyes upon the ark of God. But let's talk about some things about crossing some other rivers. You know, we have rivers to cross. I said just a little bit earlier, God didn't just call us to sit in a pew, but there's going to be rivers for you and me to cross. This is where the battle begins. When you step into God's family, the old saying is, it ain't no bed of roses. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have trouble. And sometimes we just don't understand. God, I don't understand. Have you been to that place where you just don't understand? Sometimes there are different crossings that we have to go through. Sometimes there are different things in our way where we can't grow the way God wants us to grow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because you know when God saves you and me, the sad thing is he don't take us out of his body of flesh. And it is, the flesh is there to try to destroy you. There are three enemies, Paul said, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Boy, we got three enemies that are coming against us. Devil, you don't have to worry about him too much. He's off fighting. He's off where the big powers are. He's got dominions in other countries, even in the United States, and government and everything. You think he's going to fool with little old me, little old you? He has some demons around that may torment us or come against us and things like that. But he's concerned about the big honchos. He's concerned about the ones who are directing the things in the world that are going on. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The flesh is another thing. Now, I said we didn't fight. We don't fight to win against flesh and blood, against one another. But you know the flesh. Man, it wants to be just like it was before you got saved. I often wonder, I often question sometimes, God, why didn't you just take this away and I'd be fine? You ever thought about that? Why didn't you just take the flesh and take your away? Because he'd have to kill you, I guess. But you had the flesh to deal with. And man, it does not want anything of God. It doesn't want any correction. It doesn't want any responsibility. It don't want anything. I think it's over in Second Peter. Let's see about some things that are going to come against it. First Peter 4. Talking about some things that are going to come against you. If you're going to stand for God, there are things that are going to come against you. When you receive salvation through faith by the grace of God, Bible says in 2 Peter, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's go to 4:13. Maybe I just read that. I'm sorry. But anyhow, there's going to be some things coming to us. And then there's going to be some rivers that we're going to have to cross. Amen. Let's go to these rivers and see what kind of rivers maybe you may be getting ready to cross or have trouble crossing. First of all, there's a river of pride. Pride will keep you from heaven. Pride will destroy you. Pride will destroy me. We can get to the place when we begin to walk in the flesh and think we're all that. God has to show us. He has to humble us. Over in James, it tells us that sometimes pride eats at us like a cancer. James 4:6 says, He giveth more grace, where he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Sometimes God has to humble us. How does he do that? Sometimes God brings things, allows things to come upon us. He doesn't tempt us with evil.
Amen.
But he allows things to come upon us. He even did that with Job. Job had everything that he needed, everything that he wanted. He had a nice family. He had all kinds of servants, all kinds of animals, everything, all kinds of land, a big family. But God said, go test him out there, Satan. And he went before Job and took everything he had. The only thing left was a woman, his wife. And all she could say was, curse God and die. As he sat there in the ashes and the boils all over his body, all she could say was, Job, just curse God and die. And you know, that's what the world tells us too. That's what the world tells us too when we're in difficulty. That's what his friends came to him and they didn't give him any comfort. You must have done something really bad, Job, to cause this to come upon you. There had to be. They stood around silent for a lot of days, I believe it says. His friends came. And then they began to speak one by one. And thought, you must have done something wrong here. Isn't that the way the world looks at us? Some of us go through a sickness. Some of us go through pain. Some of us go through sorrow. Loved ones are taken away. Well, you must have done something wrong. And they'll point the finger at you. But let me tell you something. Keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
Keep your eyes upon him. Because it says, he giveth more grace. Paul, when the thorn wasn't taken from his side, and he prayed to God 3 times. And he told Saul, Paul, I'm not going to take it from you. You don't have to live with it. You know, there are people going through life living with things, living with turmoil. And they shake their fist at God. And they won't be humble enough to say, God, just help me. Take away this pride in my heart and in my life. Pride is a river that's so hard to cross sometimes because you know how we are. I want to do it. I want to save myself. If I do this, if I do that, we try to add to what God has already done when Jesus died upon that cross. He paid the price. Amen. He said it was finished.
Amen.
He said that he would save. He said that he would take you and he would lead you to the gates of heaven unto glory. But we get our little packet of rules. The churches pass out the little packet of rules and get you under legalism. Well, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to live right before the Lord. You have to live right before the Lord. But it's in his power.
Amen.
That's where the problem is. We try to do it in our power. Let me tell you, in this old body, I ain't got much power. Sheila, I just turned three-quarters of a century old last week.
Did you?
I'm not. And I don't have any much power in my own self. But I know where the power is, don't you, Ann?
Yes, amen.
You know where the power is at? It's in his word. It's in the preaching of his word. It's in the teaching of the word. And we got a good Bible teacher here amongst us. Brother Dallas is a good Bible teacher.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
But he giveth grace to the humble. What do you do? What's that mean? Sometimes you have to kneel at an old altar somewhere. Say, God, I can't do this. You ever been to that place?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I've been there with a bottle of pills in my hand because I didn't want to go on. I was ready to take that bottle of pills because I said, I can't live this way anymore. There's some out there today. Maybe you're going through something that you just don't think there's an end in sight. But let me tell you, God, in his mercy, he can help you. He can touch you. And there I was with that bottle of pills sitting on that table. I ain't nothing I'm proud of. But I want to show you, tell you how God's mercy steps in. His mercy steps in. And his grace steps in the hour that you want to don't want to go on no more. You're tired of this. I'm tired of taking medicine. I'm tired of living this way. God can step in. How do I know? Because he stepped in for me. And the moment I picked up that little bottle of pills, there was a knock at the door. See, I'd already planned. I'd let the kids go stay with somebody else. There I was alone. You can get in such deep depression. See, that's not true. We talked to Elijah. He was in that state. God had to move him. And if somebody was standing in that doorway who had never stepped foot in my house before. But she said, we were having an argument down the street, me and my husband. Having an argument. Well, what did that have to do with me? Ask God.
Yeah.
Ask yeah. God.
Amen.
Amen.
I threw the pill away. I looked to Jesus. I cried that I couldn't cry no more. I let the peace of God begin to come in because I know I was saved. But the enemy can get you to the place. Your flesh can get you to the place where you want to give up. You have to cross that river of pride. Oh, there's other rivers that we have to cross too. You know, sometimes we do through things through strife and vainglory. But you know what we have to do? We have to esteem others better than ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I ain't nobody. Mm-hmm. Without Jesus, I am nothing. But with Jesus, I can be strong. Joshua knew, didn't he? Mm-hmm. With God on his side, he knew he could be strong. With all the failures of those people as they walked in the wilderness for 40 years, they missed the mark. But they got across that river. Things happened after they got across that river. They had to fight, go to Jericho and take that city. They had to go and fight King Ai and his kings and all that stuff. Read your Bibles. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, Dallas?
Amen.
It's got mysteries in it, got love stories in it, it's got betrayal in it. Everything that you want is in this Bible.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something. It's got excitement in it. When David comes before the giant and slings that slingshot. My. We're all out looking for something else, aren't we? Show me something that I can be excited about. Word of God. You can see Jesus on the waves. You can see Jesus in the boat. And the disciples just on the don't know what to do. We're going to perish. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. What's wrong with you guys? You couldn't even get a little nap. We're going to perish, Jesus. He got up and said, oh, you a little thing. Peace be still. I went back and finished it. Calls John, Peter to catch a multitude of fishes more than once. He fed the 5,000. Man, the things that are in this Bible, oh, that's all fairy tales, Gary. Preacher. It's all fairy tales. I mean, I listen to the History Channel now, and they tell me that these things God didn't do it. I mean, there's theologians on there. And they tell me that these things, I'm going to tell you, they did happen.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's not because they look under a rock to find something, or they go up in their mountains of Ararat and to try to find the ark? Mm-hmm. Oh, we found it now. I already knew that. I already knew it landed there. The Bible says it landed there. Then there's a river of unforgiveness. Oh, man, that's a big one there. Unforgiveness. You know, a lot of people that I'm speaking to, you're filled with unforgiveness. You can't forgive someone who's hurt you. You can't forgive a wrong that a church. Come on.
Amen.
You can't get over something that happened in the church. You don't go to church to worship people, my friend. You go to worship God. You go to worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that saved you. I understand sometimes we have to leave because the doctrine that they preach is not lining up with the Word of God. I understand that. But people leave and they go and they get hurt. They get disgruntled. They said, I'm not going to forgive them. And there's some sitting today and they won't go to church. They won't assemble themselves together. Do you have to go into a church? The Bible says, neglect not the assembly of yourself. Doesn't say neglect not the assembly in the church building, and I'm not preaching against you going to church in a church building. And all those people say, well, I just stay at home and, you know, listen to this on the TV and stuff. But church, the assemblance of people,
amen.
The assembly of people, it don't have to be in a building with a steeple and a cross on top. They had that in the New Testament. I think they went pretty far, don't you?
Yeah.
They went pretty far. Matter of fact, they went across most of the known world at that time, preaching the gospel. Then man got this idea, well, we ought to keep everybody closed up in this church, this little building. And that's where most of them sit on Sunday morning. They're still sitting in the building out there not doing anything. You got to get up and go. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, making disciples. Jesus, if you want to turn over, I'm running out of time. But Jesus spoke about unforgiveness. He said to forgive even as he forgave. How did he forgive? You think he's holding something against you?
No.
You think Jesus is holding something against you? You're not going to go around him because he did something or done something to us? You know, people do that. Well, I forgive that person, but I ain't going to go around them anymore. Is that the way Jesus forgave? Some say, well, Gary, that's a hard thing. You don't know. I don't know. But I know a Savior that can cause you to humble yourself. I know a Savior that can cause you to let all that go, because it's not helping you one bit. Someone said it's like taking a little bottle of poison and drinking it and expecting the one that's hurt you to die. You're the one that's going to suffer from it. Unforgiveness, it should not be in our hearts. Jesus said, forgive one another even as I have forgiven you. You got to see how Jesus forgave. How did he forgive? How did he love?
Unconditionally.
He loved with everything he had when he was up on that cross.
Yeah.
He loved with everything that he had. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They spit in his face. They plucked his beard out. Nailed him to a cross.
Gave his murderers.
And he murdered. He gave down his life. He gave up the ghost. Oh, but he came back again. On that third day. You know, the demons in hell tried to keep that sun from rising that day. They were at that tomb. Don't you think they were? 3 days he's supposed to rise up out of that tomb, and all the demons of hell and Satan himself were probably there just waiting. But we got him now, boys. We got him now. They must have done everything they could to keep that sun from rising. But you know something? The sun, the stone was rolled away.
Amen.
Amen.
And he even left a little napkin folded there. Y'all know what that little napkin means? When the Jewish people had a dinner, had a supper, when they got up from the table to excuse themselves, they always folded their napkin. And then they would come back, because they're going to have to use that napkin again. He's going to come back.
Amen.
The same Amen. Jesus. The same Jesus.
Amen.
You see, going up into heaven. Why stand you gazing? This same Jesus.
Amen.
Shall come again in like manner. And then there's a river of laziness. Let me tell you something. We skip on here a little bit. The river of laziness. That's one of my big deals. Sometimes I put things off. James said, if you know to do good, then do it. If you know to do good, then do it. And if you don't, it's sin. Over in Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. But we have to get to that place where we have to put ourselves aside and our laziness sometimes aside. Sometimes I use an old excuse, I'm just tired, I'm worn out. Joshua was 80 years old. Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. I know it was better conditions back then. The food was a little bit, probably a lot better. But he died when he was 175. Moses. He didn't put stuff off, old, did he?
No.
He messed up. He cursed a rock in the wilderness. I mean, he hit the rock in the wilderness. He hit it twice. God said, you've already hit it once. Jesus Christ didn't die twice. He only died once. The rock represents Christ. And the water came forth. And because of that little thing, think about that. He said, you're not going to enter the promised land. Talk about getting smacked down. But oh, he's there. He's in a greater promised land. He's going to be there in a greater promised land. Because he saw God way back out there. He was looking for one city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Over in Galatians. Let me end with this. I'll shut it up, okay? I'm sorry I've gone so long. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. I'm talking about crossing a river. I had to cross an old bridge one time when I was growing up. I told this story, I don't know how many times. So you get old, you repeat yourself, man.
Oh, I don't ever do that. My kids always tell me, Mom, you already told me that once.
But anyhow, I remember I was about 9 or 10 years old again. We get up, we live down in the old the quarries down there, old stone quarry down there, and they call it Belknap. It was in Sellersburg down by the old first old stone quarry down there. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Sheila?
Yep, I'm aware of that.
And we had a house right by the railroad track.
Mm-hmm.
And we get up on Saturday morning because Daddy's going to take a fishing. And man, we go hurry, dig in worms, put them in an old coffee can. Robert, you ever done that? And we'd head on down the railroad tracks. We'd all, about 4 or 5 of us, brothers. And there we go down that railroad track. And we'd have to walk about a mile, I guess, to that old place we called the Car Bridge. Car Bridge was where the side of it there is where they parked their boxcars at. And they loaded up cement and took it to Watson and on down through there, and it was loaded up on trains and so forth. But there was a little dinky, we called it the dinky train, the orange train. Mm-hmm. And we'd take that down the, we'd take that tracks all the way, and usually it wouldn't run on Saturday. So it wouldn't run on, we'd have to worry about that. But well, we got there so far, and there's a big bridge. I tell you, that bridge looked like it was 2,000 feet to the water when I was a kid. I mean, you don't have much conception. You're little, and you look, everything else looks big. And I got to that. Dad said, we have to go to the other side to catch fish. I thought to myself, what? I'm pretty comfy over here. Let's go down here. Ain't that the way we are? Let's go down here where it's comfy. He said, no, we got to go across. And I said, I can't. I'm afraid I'll fall. And all the other brothers, you know, they're big. They went on across. Some of them laughing. You know how siblings are. They laugh at you. Anyway, Dad, I remember my dad. He took that big old hand of his. He put it in mine, put my hand in his. He said, just do what I'm doing. Take a step on them old cross ties. He said, you're not going to fall. I'll catch you. I'm here. And one step at a time, for about 50 yards, we walked across that old bridge. We got to the other side where the fishing was better. I'm not talking about bridges. I'm talking about putting away fear. I knew that as long as I held his hand, I was going to make a cross, even when I was little, because he would take care of us. You know, that's the way God is.
Amen.
That's the way God is. Mm-hmm. God knows if you keep holding on to Jesus. God knows if you keep looking to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. that he could get you across. Some today may be laying in a bed of sickness. Maybe you're not where you're supposed to be with Jesus. But you can be. You can ask him to come into your heart and into your life. And if you believe, he said he would. If he's calling you, maybe there's a still small voice in you that's rising up and saying, it's time. There's a lonesome valley we have to walk. There's a Jordan River we got to cross.
Amen.
That last river, many identify the Jordan River as a river of death. You cross over to the other side. And as I close today, remember the only way, talking to you as Christians, the only way you're going to get there is to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Walk in the Spirit. You don't walk in the flesh. You hold on to Jesus Christ's hand.
Amen.
You hold on to his power. You hold on to that blood that was shed upon the cross. You hold on to that power and the blood that was applied to your soul. You hold on and lift him up and keep on walking. Keep
Amen.
On walking. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for an opportunity to share your word. I thank you for your goodness. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just move and touch. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. For you're the only one that's deserving. In Jesus' name.
Amen.